I mean,
It's
even
not
though it
that
had
bad.
more glass, it didn't
Yeah.
look all that. I mean, it looked kind of chintzy, believe it or not. I thought,
What, the like the white trimming around it?
no, the aluminum frame is the one you're talking about,
Oh
right?
yeah. So you're thinking that was a little chintzy.
Yeah, but the wood face ones definitely have a bit more class to it, I think.
It's more of a designer, I would say,
Yeah.
feel to it.
And like you said, I mean, for the big stuff, it looks good, but for 6 inch, I mean, you might just want to put like a platform of foam on the bottom of the shelf just to lift them up a little bit if you wanted to do that. But
Like I can see that. Like you can even like take a same size plywood or another, buy another shelf because best is like have shelvings, and you can just buy another shelf and put it at the bottom just to lift it up a little bit.
that's
Yeah, but
true.
it would only be the size of a shelf. Like it wouldn't match perfectly the size of the frame of the actual box, so you know.
Yeah, but it's like putting a shelf at the bottom, at the bottom, right? It would fit,
But you're gonna
right?
have gap. You're gonna have a gap on each side. That's
How
all I'm
much of
saying.
a
It's not gonna be big.
gap?
Not that much.
Yeah. Mind the gap. Gap. Gap life.
Word.
Shops at the Gap. I feel a
Word.
poop coming on. I don't know if I can make it through the
right. You want to go before we go live, or?
Do you guys have like a certain time of day that you guys poop?
Don't take your phone with you.
Usually.
Do
you
you
find yourselves doing it like right after lunch because you just ate lunch and you since you did an input, you need to put an output?
Is that when you go?
I'm just asking. Like I typically go like after dinner. Yeah, like usually
That
after
means you're
dinner.
eating. That means you're eating trash.
I
'Cause it
go every
goes right
morning.
fucking
The
through
fuck
it.
do you know, JD? How do you know I'm
I
eating
know.
trash?
If your body is
Dude.
rejecting your food immediately after you eat it, it is
No.
garbage food.
I eat like breakfast, lunch, and then when come to dinner after I finish dinner, I'm full, so my body just disposes of the last like that last meal that I had, which
Well,
would
it's
be
probably the lunch.
breakfast
You think your
or
body
lunch.
just digests food faster than every other human that after you eat dinner it comes out in
Dude, you see my
the
fucking body? Yeah, it fucking digests. It's meant to digest food, motherfucker. Yeah.
It's not doing that great of a job.
You know what?
I'm just
Yours
old.
not either,
It's
okay,
backed up.
fuckface.
Yeah, it's all backed up.
It's all backed up. That's why my fucking eyes are brown. Full of shit day, right? I'm full of shit.
I'm just saying, you don't make much sense.
Oh, that's typical, right? No, is it? I'm sorry, Dave.
Yes. But all Puerto
Oh.
Ricans look the same,
Yeah,
though?
yeah,
Damn.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you mean, you
Oh,
people?
you people. Utes. The
Construct
two Utes.
the bots, right?
Yeah, exactly, Dave. Exactly. Way to bring it
Usually
up.
it's after coffee for me, Dave. Usually after coffee, like within 5 or 10 minutes, boom.
Yeah,
You know?
coffee does it. Yeah, coffee
Gotta
does
go.
it.
What's the caffeine that does that too?
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
it's
in
a
the morning,
natural
though. It's,
diuretic, right?
yeah. So it's
yep,
in the morning.
exactly.
Always, usually in the morning.
Man. Makes me pee like a racehorse too, and you smell it. It smells like a fresh brew. You know when you pee right after you drink coffee? It smells just like coffee.
Nah, never noticed that.
Take a whiff next time you piss.
Oh shit. All right. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Breaking the Mold. I'm Harrick and BX. Let's say what's up to the rest of the crew. First up, everybody's favorite pigment surgeon, JD. How are
Oh
you?
my. I am doing wonderful, you beautiful meat bags. How are we all doing? You're mixing it up here.
That's right. How are you? How are you? How are you?
Got nervous.
I'm all right. What?
You got nervous. They're going giddy over there. He's like,
I'm flushed. I got picked first. Yeah, I'm good. I'm a bit tired. I haven't been fucking sleeping much lately, but I'm good. I got a big box of fucking toys today, and I'm a happy boy.
It's like Christmas all over again.
Glad to hear it, man.
Kinda. It was kind of Christmas.
Well, are you happy with the stuff you got?
So happy? Far. Yep.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, next up, Big Dom. What's going on, man?
What's going on, people?
Dom number two.
God, let's not talk about number two.
Kerplunk.
Ryan's gonna blank his camera and mute himself for a few minutes.
Yeah, let's hope he mutes it.
Maybe I should leave him for last and let him sweat for a couple of minutes. Should I introduce you next, Brian, so you could do what you got to do?
I can tough through courtesy. I'll tough through it.
All right, Dom, what's up, man? What's going on?
Not much, nothing. Had a good week, you know. Just chilling. I, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get a big box of toys like JD.
Oh, I know. Me neither.
You know.
It's all good.
So, what are you gonna do?
No doubt.
Go buy yourself a box of toys.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. I was thinking, remedy it pretty damn quick.
Don't listen to him. He got tons of shit all week. He just doesn't want to talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Nah, it was a good week. Good week. Good, nice weather over the weekend. What I think.
It rained all weekend.
Perfect weather. Saturday. Rained all day.
Dom's type of weather.
Yeah, just stay inside. Get shit done.
Yep. Play some video games. You know.
Get shit done.
Get another trophy.
Watch Infinity War 4 times.
Did you watch Infinity War 4 times, Gary?
No, that was you. That's what you did on Saturday.
Yeah, that's not a waste of time at all.
No, I agree. I agree, Dom. I agree.
That's not a waste of time at all. That's good.
I watched that at least probably twice over the weekend. So, yeah.
It's a Netflix. Good go-to movie, really. It is.
That movie makes me feel for Star-Lord, you know?
Oh, Netflix Night City. all right. Energon Addict, what's up, Pop?
Yo, what's good? My mic on?
Yeah, it's on, unfortunately.
I can't hear. What?
Oh, you can't hear me, JD?
He's trying to do the low voice so he sounds sexy for our female listeners.
Wait, baby. Baby.
All the female listeners we have. Huh?
Talk like this the rest of the show. I had a pretty good weekend. Really not much going on. I did a lot of work upstairs, you know, with the room. Cleaning it because I knew Chris was coming Monday and I had shit everywhere. It was like Christmas Central up here. So I did some cleaning. Had an interesting week last week too. My kid, who's only 2 years old, she just turned 2 in November. I had to sign her up for school in January because apparently the schools, they book up quick and they only had 3 spots left for the 3-year-olds. So come September, she'll be eligible to be in the 3-year-old class. And I had to sign her up now, believe it or not. Which I was
starting that early, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't know they started that early.
What do you learn when you're 3 years old?
Well, it's funny you say that because, all right, so my kid's 2. She counts to 15. She knows all her ABCs.
Your wife must be teaching her, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man. That was good.
No, you want to know something? I think a lot of that has to do with who you surround your kids by. Like, for me, my parents had to work, you know, a 9-to-5 job. So I was always with somebody, some babysitter who hardly spoke English, you know, because, you know, I didn't speak Spanish. So I was brought up fucking talking like Spanglish, basically. And they couldn't teach me much, you know, at least in my language. So for her, I think it's her grandparents. She's surrounded by them constantly. And then us. And we don't talk to her like a little kid. Like, I'm not going to Google Gaga my kid.
That's
like,
good.
She
good.
Starts acting stupid. I'm like, why are you acting like that? You're acting like an idiot. Like, I talked to her like a human. Like, you know, like a person.
Like an adult.
And she's picked up on it. So She's pretty good with that. So, and I like the school, so we kind of went with it. Like when I went there, I liked the people. And the kids looked like they were actually like enjoying themselves. So that was something like that was important for me because she's only going to be there like 3 hours a day. It's not like an all day thing.
Okay. Okay.
But well, there's a tuition involved.
Is this preschool? This preschool, right there?
I think it's I don't know if it's called preschool, but I think it's like preschool, if that makes any sense. You know, because I think she's only, because they take them at two, believe it or not.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah. That's definitely like a preschool, because usually preschool is 4 years old, because I know usually kids will go into kindergarten at five. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my
niece is three and she's like in a preschool. It's also like it also has like a daycare at the end of the day. So like they'll go to class and then they basically go to daycare after that.
I don't know. Seems like a nice, easy way for these schools to make extra money. It's like, how can we get them extra money? You know what? Let's put them in school for two more years.
It's the truth though.
Call it preschool.
Preschool.
It's important for me because she may learn more at home. Like, you know, if she's been doing well at home, but it's about the social aspect of it. Like she needs to get out there and know how to be a human around other kids, you know, because if she's not surrounded by them and then, you know, all of a sudden you pop her in there, she could have like some kind of separation anxiety from us, not want to be there with a bunch of kids staring at her or not learning how to share shit like that. So I think it's more for that than it is like, you know, them multiplying or fucking learning cat, dog, or whatever the fuck it is, learning how to read. It's more so just the learning the social aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with not learning that at five like the rest of us did?
It's not the same fucking, apparently it's not the same world we live in. That happened to me. I mean, not to drag on, but I was fucking five. I had never went to preschool. I went straight to kindergarten. And my first day was the same shit. I was like one of the last kids in class. All the kids were sitting down already staring at me. And I freaked the fuck out. I was like, get me out of here. You know, running to the door.
Dude, the same thing happened to you at NJCC this past summer.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, that's why for me it was important, because I said, I don't want that to happen to her. It was like my first week of school was like fucking traumatizing.
But it is fair.
That's why we have to communicate, Dave. Like,
and it was the worst, bro. Like, horrible.
That's why we have to communicate, Dave. Like, are you okay, Dave? Are you okay?
I mean, here he's talking about the head start, but like, there's no head start if everyone starts at the same time. So I don't fucking get it. You know?
Here's your head start. Kick
your
ass.
Well, not everybody gets
everyone in the pool at once, and not everyone floats to the top. I mean, that's the way it works.
Well, not everybody gets the head start. See, so Dave didn't get it as a kid. I didn't get it as a kid.
I think Brian's up for natural.
A head start is technically cheating, right? If you go before the gun goes off, then
yeah, that's ground for disqualification.
Yeah. They call it a handicap.
You go back to preschool. No kindergarten for you.
It's like handicapping your golf game.
Yeah, sure, man. I'll give you strokes. Yeah.
Listen, you got to pay to play. You got to pay to play. That's what it's all about. Yeah. As Dave is finding out about now.
It's elitism. What it is.
Yeah, man. That's like two or three less fucking hot toys a year for me right there.
Nestamon, yeah. I'm just messing with you, man. I know what you're trying to say. I'm just trying to be a jerk. I hope it's working.
This is about the time where, like, you know, the cop is going back to his car to get to check on Brian's license and everything, and Brian just drives off.
You learn to drive by watching.
He's like, yeah.
Well, Brian, hello, and how are you? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How
you guys? You were nicer when you sat down, Brian. Get that man a chair.
Get that man a chair and a glass of gin. Yeah.
I like the strategy, though. I like the strategy. Standing up while podcasting, going to be burning some calories while you're here on the air with us.
Hey, man. Do a little. I kind of like doing this while standing, you know? It's like,
that's why you gotta poop.
Actually, it's kind of gone away since I put up. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's good. I've actually had an opportunity, as you can see, I have to change some things up here in a little bit, and I'm pretty happy. I get to mess around this room a bit more, and you know, at least rearrange stuff, get things cleaned up. Kind of happy about that. I'm not happy about the fact that I have a lot more that I'd like to put in this room, and now I can't. Or, yeah. So it's just decisions.
It's only gonna grow.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Oh no, it's only gonna grow.
You can't buy more. With a magic blue pill, it's only gonna grow.
Yeah, I need to come up with a system for this that I am comfortable with, that doesn't involve just like dumping stuff and not seeing it again forever. Just like, you know, like Gary said, what's the Japanese saying?
I don't know the phrase, but the idea is, does the item bring you joy? And if it doesn't, you thank it and you move it out of your life.
Yeah. So
I'll have to look it up. There's maybe someone in the chat knows, but there's a legitimate phrase for
it. Can you apply that to friends, Gary?
Yes, you can. You can, okay, Dom. Good. You can put your hands on their shoulders, look them in the eye, and thank say, you no Dave. Longer bring me joy.
Oh.
Thank you very much, Dave.
You notice he's looking up when he does that, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Other than that, I'm good. I don't have any stories about sending kids to school or anything like that.
No. Me neither. Blessed to not have any currently. So, all right, G Money, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Chilling, man. How are you?
Everything's good. Busy work week and busy day. I'm studying to take my New York State notary commissioner exam next week. So
it's gonna be a notary.
Oh, nice. Yeah. He's gonna be notary.
For commissioner. I can get you to notarize some documents for me. Nice.
Yeah, in the state of New York, it applies throughout any county, as I'm learning, right? So
I will stop writing Dave text messages so he doesn't have to print them out and notarize them.
Yeah, Dom's like, can you notarize some receipts for me?
They're legit because Gary said so.
Yeah, I'll have a stamp and everything at some point, so that's I got that going for me, so that's exciting.
I mean, you get a card to put in your wallet and, like, you can flash that.
He's got like things to do in life. Notarize.
What are you planning on doing with that? Are you trying to?
Although I could technically, and I've learned what I'm allowed legally to charge per signature. We need it for work, you know, for my job, because we deal with powers of attorney and things like that. So you want to have so many people on the staff to get it. But it's interesting. I've had it in several other states. Most states aren't that difficult. You pretty much go in, you fill out the paperwork, you pay the fee, and boom, you know, you're a notary. But some of my associates have been failing the New York state test. So I printed out the study guide, and the study guide is it's quite thick. They give you like 5 practice tests. It's like a little ACT, SAT, you know, prep work. So
maybe it's geared for those who started school a few years early.
Exactly. Head start. Right? So, you know, so I figured, you know, I'm gonna take one of my managers and a couple associates on Tuesday and make sure that we go get it done and have enough of what we need. So yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's good.
Gary, nice. I'm just curious, how much can you charge per signature?
$2.
I was about to say $3.50.
When's this test?
It's $2 for each signature that you know.
$3.50.
You better go get famous.
$2. Like,
no, and you're not. You can't illegally. You can't overcharge because that could be viewed as misconduct, and then that turns into a felony actually in the state. So
can you give it for
free?
They
charge like $3. They charge like $3 or $3.50 here in New York. I
can, Dom. You can do it for free, but then if I do it free for you, I have to do it free for Dave and JD too. I'm not allowed to pay
me. Okay. And me too.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's interesting. That's some of the stuff that I've learned. Mm-hmm. But that's about it.
is the questions on these tests like situational? Like Bob came up with asking you to notarize this document, and it had this, this, and that. And is that like is it true, false, or something like that? Or
it's multiple choice, but there's multiple some that choice. Are like that. That kind of tell you, hey, these are the things that are happening, and you know, two of these and three of these. What's the most you can charge? Or, yeah. Damn cats in the way. But yeah, you know, it's just a lot of terminology and stuff like that. But you know, it's interesting. It's cool. Hmm. Yeah, I got the cat here now. Great. Okay.
nice. All right. And didn't you you were talking about like you wanted to kind of have a discussion about totes and the kind of almost like a reverse tote light discussion, because I know you're in a kind of temporary situation where you kind of have a lot of your things packed up.
Yeah, I got
not on display. So why don't you get into that?
Right yeah, now? No, that's cool. I had I've got that, and then I had a pickup this week. I thought we could talk about just a little bit because I thought it might be kind of time sensitive. But I do have the tote life question for me is, and we've got a pretty wide range of people here in the chat and on the panel. I've had a couple different houses. You know, when I lived in Massachusetts, I had a great, this is before I was into the knowing you guys in the ROC. So it's just kind of me on my own, had a really nice large bedroom as a toy room. And then our house in Delaware without having a basement and one less bedroom, I had a room there as well, but it was much, much smaller. Now we're just renting this year. I kind of figure out a more permanent work assignment. So I'm in an apartment and I have a good sized room, but you know, it's apartment life. So I have some stuff out because I don't want to have everything packed away, kind of keeping my interest, and I modified the display. So it's certainly not anything I would ever have set up permanently, but I kind of find myself just sometimes I'm like, do I just stop buying stuff until I'm in a more permanent situation again and then start up, or do you keep going and hold on to it? I've always tried to look at the mentality, I guess, or the perspective that I didn't need to hold things, you know, mint in package. I would display it and enjoy it and look at it until, in all seriousness, it was no longer fun or I was ready to move on to something different. But, I'm just curious what you guys, how did you guys do it? So like Dave's room is coming together great. Brian's room is coming together great. You know, JD's collection has expanded. Jose, you kind of face some of the space challenges, and Dom, you still really haven't, you know, in all seriousness, right, really started with your display yet. But ooh. I'm just curious, what did you guys do to keep your interest, or did you not have the same interest? And
I got you.
Got you through it.
I got you.
So first, I want to say you just said something like you questioned yourself whether you should be buying and holding on to stuff.
Right.
Well. It depends on what it is. If it's something you know you're really vested in, but you know you don't have the room for, like you love it, but you don't have the space for it, I would say pick it up. Because you don't want to go hunting for it, you know, 2 years from now and you can't find it, or it's okay. Double or triple the price. I always say I'd rather pick it up now and worry about it later. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Or not worry about it later, basically. You know, so for me, I used to pick up because I was collecting at the beginning, you know, masterpiece figures, for example. And I had no room for them. I had nowhere to put them. So I would leave one out. We all know this, you know, for a week or two, and I would put it away. But what kept me going, I think, was probably the taking pictures of them, the toy photography stuff, because at least you got to share you shared your toy with whoever, I guess, follows you on Instagram or, you know, sometimes on a Rama Collectors photo challenge like Jose's running now.
All out action.
Right. I mean, my photos were fucking shitty as fuck 2 years ago. Not that they're much better now, in my opinion, but 2 years ago, they did a photo challenge that lasted 7 weeks. So that forced me to pick up toys and take them out their boxes for 7 weeks to do that challenge. And I wound up winning it, you know, which was cool. But it also kept me engaged with my figures because sometimes I would go through those lulls and I'd be like, you know what? Fuck that. Like, I don't even know why I do this because it's in the fucking box. It's right. Sitting in the corner. But you know, it's when you handle them. It's when you pose them. It's when you, you know, take a pic or two of them. And eventually when you display them, when you start really appreciating them more so, you know? So I say for me, it was if you're going to buy stuff and keep it in the box, just take it out once in a while. You know?
That was my question. If you do that,
but take it out once in a while.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps, Dave, because like Gary's feeling it now. He's in an apartment like the way I am, and I don't have a lot of space to display. So space is limited. So a lot of the stuff that I've had in the box for like months and months, I've almost felt like the attachment is gone. I've felt like it's been very easy to let that stuff go because I haven't been like enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? So that is a point what you just said. I think when you do have these things in package and put away, definitely take them out every now and again just to kind of, you know, feel that connection. Because like as time moves on, I feel that connection, you know, almost being lost in a way. You know what I'm saying? But it's good stuff, man. Like it's, you know, when you have the stuff on display and you're able to take it out and enjoy it, and photography, that shit, you know, I love your pictures, you know what I'm saying? And that's the thing is like, you always feel like, man, you always wonder as yourself, as an artist, as a toy photographer or whatever, you know, when you're messing with your figures and you put them in that way and trying to set up a scene, take a picture, you're always wondering if that's good enough. And, you know, and it's always like that same shade, like we're always our own like worst critic. But when I see your stuff and the stuff that you're posting on Instagram, you know, I'm like, man, that shit looks dope. Like, I'm wondering even what you're using just as your background for like those purplish, you know what I'm saying, and pinkish hues as a background. I'm like, I'm like, I'm sure you're kind of using light of. It kind of looks that way. Almost looks that way. You know what I'm saying?
Jose, it's easy. Like, you see the color behind me on my walls? You see how it's like a grayish blue? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I reflect a red light on it, it's going to turn purple. So like a light lavender, like a almost like an energon color with the red. When I add some blue to it, it's going to turn more of a purple Decepticon like background. So I'm just playing with the lighting with this thing I bought, I forget what it's called, the Par Light or some shit. Mm-hmm. And it does all the different colors. So I use this and I basically just reflect it for what color I'm going for off of, you know.
Did you get that at Spencer Gifts?
No, I got it in Amazon. Amazon.
Just kidding.
And then I use a Detolf, the Detolf lights, the one that do the multi colors to get like an underlining color. Because some of it is, you see like two or three colors in it. And then you just need some natural light coming from somewhere. And believe it or not, most of the time it's the Detolf because I turn the lights off in the room. But this is all new to me. Like, you know, this is all stuff I've just been fucking with for the last few weeks, like last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I've been doing, basically.
So kind of coming back to the stuff. So Dom, do you I know you and I, you know, it looks like we argue a lot on this topic, I think, but in like seriousness, I think you have a few things displayed, correct?
Yeah, I just have a few things. Like I don't have the magnitude of what I have displayed, but
I guess my question is, do you rotate it? And I'll let you go. Like,
no, I don't rotate it. I don't rotate it right now. I don't. Dave said, like I was mostly, if I had time, like some, and I'll be honest with you, like some figures I'll get, and depending on the volume coming in, I might not even look at that figure, and it's sad, but it's true, and it's you know, but I bought that figure because I liked it, like, you know, and I want it in my collection. Unfortunately, sometimes when things are going so fast and things are piling in, I don't get that time to open it up and enjoy it. So, but like my thought on this whole subject is that, you know, I never had a place where, or not saying that I didn't have a place. I didn't feel like I wanted to invest the money to display my collection the way I wanted to display it, because I wanted to wait for the end. I'm sorry to use this term, but the end game, like I wanted to wait until I was settled where I know I was not going to move anymore, where this is the last place that this is my house that I'm going to retire in. And it fulfills all my wants and my needs. And that's when I was going to take the time to invest in whatever, because as we all know, displaying takes a lot of money to display those and spend money on those display cabinets and they're not cheap. There are methods, and me and Dave have been talking to figure out how to keep it cheap to where you can display and show a nice display that has an elegant look with not spending that much of money. And we've talked out a lot of options in the last 2-3 months. But you know, I after talking with you guys and understanding, and it's a pull for me where, like, you know, a push and pull where I'm like, you know, I should spend some time and spend some effort and some money to display some of my collection. And I do have some high end stuff that I would love to display, and I think it's about time I do it. Is this house my only, like, my last end all where I'm going to stay? No, it's not. And, you know, but it takes time to save up that money and buy a place that you want, or you had imagined, well, that you would to suffice a nice large basement or a nice large room that you can basically display what you want to display.
Well, it's just interesting because I personally have been in a position where, you know, I was kind of Brian and JD, I was kind of like you guys for a while. Like in the mid 2000s, I had a single family house that was just me, mm-hmm. you know, and I could put stuff anywhere I wanted. And, you know, that was when I was into the Star Wars 3¾, like just super, super heavy, all that Power of the Force stuff and everything that came out. And I had bookcases and displays and like really well thought out, you know, displays and ships hanging with fishing line in one of the rooms and, you know, squadrons of clones and just, you know, I'd really gotten into that. So, you know, I've had that opportunity in a few places. So I don't know. I just feel I'm kind of like a little bit of an impasse because I feel like I've been there and done it, you know, and now I'm in like this kind of holding pattern, but I still enjoy the looking at the stuff, and I love the hobby of looking for it.
But like I find enjoyment in everything I do in the aspect of collection, like whether it's buying it, trying to find it, and eventually, you know, playing with whatever I have at the time or whenever I have make time to do so, and eventually then displaying it. When I get those thoughts, like you're saying, Gary, should I just sell it? You know, I don't have the ability, you know, I don't have the means to display it or whatever. Like my space or my current condition is not what it used to be. And should I just get rid of it all? Or, like, you know, should I get rid of some of them or whatever the case may be? I feel like when I have those moments, I'm like Dave, like I collected these toys because I liked them, and I'd rather have them now than worry about it, you know, and not worry about it later. And then, so when the later does come, and if I start displaying them and I feel like, you know what, I really don't need this figure, I'll let it go. And that, at least I can make that decision at that time.
But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, right? Because, like, everyone who's ever heard anything on this show for the last year knows that I waited on one particular item,
yep.
and then spent like months and months and months fighting and begging and pleading to to try to get it from somebody else on this panel. And so it's that fear of missing it, I guess, versus is it something I'm still going to want, you know, 6 months from now once we move again.
There's the other end of that spectrum where, you know, you wait, and then all of a sudden the item, you know,
right,
is not as popular as it is, or it's, you know, you can get it for less, you know, like that whole term, you know, patience saves pockets. But like at the end of the day, there is situations where that might happen. And there's situations where, you know, in your case with the, so, you know, for the Voltron, if you wait and all of a sudden it's not there, and it's now you're going to have to pay mucho bucks to get it.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it outweighs each other. I think it's like, I think it's a 50-50. And maybe a 60-40, whatever the case may be, but it definitely is a balance there.
You could also come into the figure getting upgraded in that time frame that you didn't have it.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like you didn't get it, you know, let's say Voltron, for example. You know, next year they could announce a newer, bigger, better one. And then you're like, you know, for the same fucking price. And you're like, all right, glad I waited. Never
and that's a lot of stuff like that's happening with like you know, a lot of that's happening with Masterpiece. Same stuff happens with like statues. Say something's what happens with Hot Toys.
Everything. You know, look at all the sideshow shit I have that Hot Toys will probably do one day. But you want to know what? 3 or 4 years right from now, I may not even want to collect anymore. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the stuff that you have, Dave, is efficient. You don't need to spend another. Like, it doesn't look as much as pressing as what you have, and you can just say, "I'm not willing to spend another $250 just to get that margin of increase or perfection."
That's where I was gonna go.
You know, yeah. And that's a right choice. That's a choice. That's your choice. That's what makes, you know, collectors great. It's up to you. It's what you want, not anybody else telling you what you should get.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, I'm sorry. Is that a dilemma like you are having? Like, you know, now with the limited space that you have currently, like you're wondering whether you should scale back on picking up certain pieces?
Well, I know I've definitely scaled back, and I'll say it has, you know, it's changed my thought process for now, because I've really paused on the, you know, the 1/6 scale Holic Hot Toy stuff. Mm-hmm. Haven't really done as much with that because I think it is more high end and I don't have a nicer display for it here. So I've got a couple characters out that, you know, that I really appreciate, that I really enjoy looking at. So I've looked probably more into the 6-inch scale stuff now, mm-hmm. because I, you know, I can look at it a little bit easier and kind of seems to fit just a little bit better. But even with that, I think I'm at that line of being excited about what it could look like with a little more space again. But like, you guys know me well enough, I'm also that kind of person. I know, you know, Brian, I think you guys talked about this like on ETR and stuff sometimes, but if I get something and I don't open it really quickly, I almost don't for a while, and then I lose interest. So like, Brian, when you were kind of in building your collection, did you open everything you got?
I did. Basically what happened to me was, is I would open it, and eventually my dining room table over the course of a couple months would become full of toys. And then an event would occur where I would have to have people over my house. So then they would all go in the boxes and then, you know, rinse and repeat. Basically that's what mm-hmm. would happen. And I have to say, you know, when I had that stuff on the dining room table, it's like, of course that was when I was first getting into collecting. So everything new coming in was exciting, right? Meaning, God, it's sad to say it that way because it's not that way now. But anyway, it was because, you know, everything was so new. MP was new. Chug was new to me. You know, stuff. SH Figure Arts was new to me. You know, stuff like that. Black Series, everything. Everything was new. So you get it out on that table and you put it with the stuff you've accumulated recently, and you look at it and you're just in awe of it, and it's awesome. Since it's downstairs in the living area, I'm coming across it multiple times a day as I'm going through, and you really just get an appreciation for it. And, you know, as Dave was saying, if you have to go to Tote Life, you know, take that stuff out every once in a while. But I'll say, for those of us who have shelves, you know, it's almost like when you're a kid and they told you to put your toys away, you put them all in a, you know, toy box or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like here, it's like, all right, put your toys away. You put them on display. So it's like the toys are on display, but they're really put away, you know?
Right. All right.
So it's like I kind of, you know, as I'm learning to live in shelf life, you know, I find that, you know, take it off the shelf and put it on the table in front of you, or take it downstairs, you know, whatever. Even if you got a significant other, it'll get pissed at you, you know? You know, take something down.
And put it on your coffee table.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, and fuck with it.
And sit there and look at it. Mm-hmm. Look at it from different angles and stuff. And I mean, you kind of get back into the way of appreciating these things, which is why you got into these things to begin with. So,
yeah, that's a good point, because I've got, you know, the room I'm in, like, you can't really see it, but my TV is like on a piece of furniture, and it has like a shelf, and it fits like 6-inch figures really well, although it's a little shallow. And so I've got like my Black Series clones and my open Mythic Legions all kind of under the ones that'll fit on purpose, because when I sit in the chair, if I'm watching a movie in this room, you know, I can see that stuff versus having it, you know, aligned behind me or next to me and stuff. So it's interesting. That's all. It's first world problems. I know. I realize it's, you know,
interesting points brought up by the guys here. I mean, Dom, you had mentioned something like, hey, this isn't my place where I'm going to live forever. When I retire, I'm going to have a place, so I'm going to be able to, all this stuff I've accumulated, I'm going to be able to appreciate it like other people can in their current situation. And, you know, something like, I look at this Die Clone Reboot collection, right? And it's complete. And I've opened like three of them. And it's like, you know what? It's just, this is something that I know I want. I know it's something that I'm going to love when I get it open, but it's just not the right time right now.
Exactly. Like, I feel like example that I put it in is like my 401k. I put money in that thing and I don't see that money. I won't see that money until I retire, and I won't enjoy that money until I retire. So the thing is that the way I started collecting, when I knew I didn't have the room to display it or didn't want to spend the time investment to display it, I knew that the enjoyment was there. It's there. I'm collecting it. I'm collecting it. I'm collecting it. And then when it happens, then I can enjoy it and just say, hey.
Yeah, you know, But Don, money doesn't change. It's the same money that it was, like, 20 years ago.
Toys don't change either, man. It's just the same thing.
Sure they do. No, they do. They totally do.
The enjoyment of a toy doesn't change.
Sure does. No, but if I had been, you know, collecting Black Series the whole time along until they updated the face sculpts, yeah, I mean, like, and I had a bunch of that stuff packed away, I'd probably be like kind of
like, I love my MP01, and I don't love my MP01 less because of any of the new MPs that came out from Optimus. I love that toy. It will always be in my collection, and the love that I have for that particular toy won't even lessen the love for the other MPs that came out. So it's just the enjoyment of a good toy. And enjoying that toy, like, I just, that's how I feel. Like, you know.
Wait a minute, but like, I can't help but be 30 right now. I'm sorry, but like, you know, when you get a piece of ass, right? Like when you're like 15, 16, whatever, whenever you started getting a piece of ass.
10.
You're telling me you hold that piece of ass to the same regard to the piece of ass that you have home, that you dedicated your life. You know, it's not the same. So
it's a very, very good way to put this, Dave.
Listen, that's the way I see it. Because toys to me, like, right, the older ones can go, like, you know, like, they can be easily replaced.
Right. Master Hoarder in the chat, he said MP44 over MP01.
Yeah.
Master Hoarding, go suck it.
whatever.
It's time, but it's gone now.
Okay, you're implying my, like, okay, whatever. The thing is that then you have to think, like, if you bought a toy and that toy is no longer, you're not finding any enjoyment of that toy, then go ahead. You have all the right to get rid of it and not worry about it. I'm not telling you that. That's not how I feel. It's like Brian saying about the Micronauts that he has and all that, those stuff that he's worked.
Diaclone
stuff that he knows he's going to enjoy those toys. He hasn't enjoyed them now, but he knows in the future he will. And that's why he'll keep them. And at the end of the day, that enjoyment is not going to deplete in any time, because when he does open them, that same enjoyment that he knows that he will have if he opened them today will be there in the future. That's all I'm saying.
I will say one thing that I have been thinking about that maybe more so, because I don't do toy pictures, so that's probably not something I see myself starting to do to keep the interest. However, I do get a lot of excitement thinking about what the display options would look like, whatever that space is, because I've had, you know, in each of these houses and places I've lived, I've had a very different display setup on purpose. You know, I've done, you know, floating shelves. I've done kind of more traditional bookcases that fit. I've had, you know, a lot of different ways to do it. So I think I find myself probably more equally excited, not so much about what's going in the displays, but what's that display going to, you know, be different compared to what I've not got to see from people in the realm, right? In the post, or the way people do their collections.
Well, displaying is an art. Like, it's there's no wrong way doing it. Like, you know, so if you
tell me, I work for a selling organization. You have to tell me that, you know, displaying your product is equally as important as what the product is.
But presentation does matter.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
It matters.
Well, it all depends on, like, you know, who you're presenting it to. If it's if you're the only critic, you know, then you just, you know, you well, take it for what you are.
Yeah.
What it is. I'm not trying to impress anybody with my collection.
No, it's not impressing, but I think it's just what you said. It's getting enjoyment out of what that looks like.
Right.
So if it's floating shelves for you, use floating shelves. If it's detox for you, then use detox. If it's anything else for you, then use whatever you want to use.
Look, I like driving in a super clean car, but I don't do it to impress anybody. I do it because I
you enjoy like it. Exactly.
The idea of keeping my keeping the brake dust off my rims.
I'm not super clean car. I try to, but
I've driven with you. You hit the brake and Marvel Legends slide out from under the seat. So
yeah, there you go.
So for me, like my displaying, even from the beginning, I was like, whatever, 14 or 15 years old when I started getting back into this. I always had that. Well, I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. So I'm going to put it out whether I have a place to put it or not. As the years progressed, of course, kind of adds to the.
So when you say that, JD, do you mean like you were like living in the moment, not like, hey, I'm going to move? Okay. That makes sense. I can appreciate that perspective for sure.
Yeah. But none of us know. You know what I mean?
Like, well, that's true.
The beginning of last year, I didn't know if I was going to be here.
I feel living in the moment is great, JD, but I'd like, with my mentality, I am going to be here tomorrow. Like there's always a time, a case where there might be an accident and I'm not here, but probability wise, I'm probably going to be here tomorrow.
Well, you also joined the ROC Wellness Challenge. So exactly. We'll plug that away, right? You got
if
that?
If you take care of yourself. I know there's a plane that can drop out of the air and hit me, but that probability is very, very low. And then at the end of the day, if I take care of myself and, do the right things and,
we're talking in mathematics now. No fucking sense in talking that way, about dying like that. But JD's right. He just wanted to say, when am I going to do it? I'm going to fucking do it now.
I'm doing it now. I went out and I fucking spent the money on them.
Right.
Why the fuck am I going to leave them sitting in a box somewhere?
Yeah.
I've lived in situations where I didn't have room for them, but I didn't fucking care. I did it anyway. My ex-wife, she fucking hated it. I had a room in that fucking house. Didn't matter what the fuck she said. This is my fucking room. I'm putting my shit in here. Sorry, you don't have anything for a fucking room. Sorry. This has always been part of my life. And if you can't accept you that, see ya. Yeah.
Then you got rid of her.
Yep. I don't really give a
fuck. Return to sender. Get out of here.
Well, I think we've talked that I'm not fearful of not collecting something. It was just kind of some interesting dilemmas because there is a lot of stuff. There's so much stuff to be excited about, these days. I feel like that, I was listening to the polls, Brian, that you were going through, this morning when I was, when you realize what Hasbro's done and Black Series and Marvel Legends and, Mythic Legion stuff. Yeah. And then you hear people about customizing different ideas or trying to customize stuff and, different scales anywhere from 6-inch to 12-inch and the 8 and 10-inch, oddities in between and Storm collectibles with licenses. And there's just so much stuff to pick from. It's like, there's no way I could stop collecting, everything.
Exactly.
So
JD, the few guys in the chat were like, yo, mic drop.
If that goes for anything, it doesn't apply to collecting alone. If there's something that you love and something that's been a part of you for so long and somebody can't accept that, they're not worth your fucking time.
Yeah. I mean, not to get too philosophical, but look, I think we've all learned at the ages we are, people don't change that much. They can evolve. You can compromise, right? You can be open-minded to new things, but you don't change that much. So if it's in you to collect, I think you're going to find something to do all the time. But I don't want to keep talking too much. Can I share a pickup that I got yesterday that I posted about?
Yeah, of course.
In transition,
that might actually be something to discuss, whether you might think something like that is a piece that's display worthy. You know what I'm saying? So lay it out on us, man.
Does this infringe upon figure banging copyrights here?
No. So I am not transforming anything. Cat doesn't get in the way.
We got me, we got Brink, we got JD here. We got
we got the crew.
I don't want to see Gary have a panic attack on.
Yeah, I know, right? So I apologize if it looks like crap because I do this, you know, through my phone. But
all right, you can keep still for a second.
Yeah, you guys got this guy.
So looks pretty fucking good.
He came yesterday. It's the Magic Square MP Prime, right? We all talk about all the Prime options that came up. And shout out to Antoine, who does our Instagram for ROC, because he had posted a link for an overseas seller. I was like, oh, let me give it a shot, which was a really good price. And, you know, even getting it shipped, it got here pretty quick. So I did something in the spirit of what Dust did. If anybody had seen on his own channel, he's done kind of this fresh out of the box type review. And it's not really a review, but it's just first impressions where he opens the toy kind of live on a show. And it's really cool because you get to see someone's like just natural reaction. This is what I did yesterday. And I've said this before many times, and she could probably hear me in the other room. My wife is very supportive, meaning if I'm happy, she's happy. As long as I don't make her learn about this kind of stuff. She always says, just don't make me learn about it, right? And like, all these Mythic Legions are great. Here's why. She's like, I don't care. Which ones do you like? she's like, just don't make me learn. But she has, you know, she has picked up enough where she recognize names. So she'll know Fans Toys, you know, some stuff she's given me as gifts.
Does she say it like Fans Toys?
She does actually. No, she doesn't do that. But so when this came yesterday, interesting enough, and I know someone else posted on my post on Facebook that theirs came the same way. They shipped it. It wasn't like it came from China, so it wasn't wrapped in styrofoam. It wasn't wrapped in the block of tape. It was in a official Hasbro Generations Prime box that it came in. Like, yeah. Just kind of taped around like everything. And so it didn't have a ton of padding. The box was big enough just to fit the robot, you know, in bot mode.
Dude, you could so start a rumor, be like, oh my God, this is Hasbro's masterpiece.
Right. But so what we did was, you know, we were in the kitchen. I said, okay, well, just bear with me for a few minutes. So let's open it up together, like her and I. And we kind of did a little mini, you know, impartial test where I opened the shipping box, pulled it out, took it out of the tray, let her look at it, and kind of got like someone's, you know, she knows who Optimus Prime is and got her first impressions. And it was interesting because she thought it looked really, really good. She's like, it actually looks really cool. And I posted this.
Smell? Did she like the smell? Did she smell it?
She didn't smell it. She handled it and manipulated him a little bit.
Did you smell it?
I didn't smell it.
Smell it now.
It has no odor whatsoever.
they washed all the cancer off of
it. That's right. It's been contaminated by the allergens already.
It's my own masculinity. That's all I smell. I can't help. No. But he's got it's a very matte finish. So it's very plain, which doesn't look bad. The plastic, I've not handled a Magic Square, one of the legends, but I've heard about the kind of softer plastic, and that's not an issue anywhere. It's like very sturdy and it looks really good. Like I said, the sculpt is great. It got joints everywhere in terms of ratchets. It's got a butterfly in the front, so you can kind of really get some cross body poses if you wanted to.
That red is plastic, right? That's not painted.
Correct. No, it's nothing. There's really no paint except for some of the gray trim on the red,
right,
and some of the pieces of chrome, a little bit of yellow, but he's got a good, you know, ab crunch and rotation.
Gary, are the legs and the hips gray or are they white?
So that's the thing. They are definitely gray.
This is copyright infringement.
his legs are gray.
It's copyright infringement.
Right. His cab stripes are gray. But here's what my wife said, Christina. She pointed out right away. She's like, he looks really good, but she said it looks kind of like a toy. And she had just seen Fans Toys Hydra on the shelf, and she's like, that one that you just got at Christmas time, she's like, looks way fancier. Yeah, the statue.
Nice statue.
So it was interesting just kind of hearing someone's perspective, right? About, hey, what looks more like a toy and what looks more like a collectible item, you know, on your display. But yeah, I think for the money, like he's good. For a first outing, with first being in quotes because of, you know, all the third party stuff we always talk about, he's, like I said, it's very solid. Everything tabs together extremely well and very poseable. The knees, I think that a lot of people were kind of like talking about, don't really look quite so bad or wonky in person when you see it. That little
sounds tight as fuck.
Yeah, it's good. The hip skirts, you know, it's got three pieces in the front. I'm sorry, I know I do the terrible job. And then the one for the side and the back is like kind of like a right angle. So that's just a little bit interesting when you're posing it. And that'll kind of pop up his ab crunch just a little bit. But, you know, fit and finish, like I said, aside from the fact that it's a matte plastic, it doesn't look cheap. But putting it next to like a Fans Toys, it definitely looks more toy-ish. And I don't mean like tune, you know, aesthetic. But I've got G2 Grinder in dino mode. So he's the blue color with the gold trim, but the blue is the flat plastic. And when you put him next to that, it looks really, really good. So
I'll tell you what takes me by surprise with this figure is it doesn't look like it transforms.
it's very clean.
Look at that.
There's the back. Yeah.
Just that little shit on the back. That's it, right? Look at the legs. Yeah.
You know what?
It doesn't look like it.
That's a good point, Brian, because considering the MP44 that's coming out, in the all mode with all the panel-y lines, the way we discussed with the Megatron when we saw the photos of that, it's impressive what they did with this figure, and it actually does transform.
His chest, I mean, I know some of the MP10 molds, they didn't always clip together correctly. You had to make sure the matrix was put in. And so even that, if you had it correct, sometimes they weren't like secure. They'd kind of pop. It doesn't have any issues there. I'm not good at this. This is why I don't review anything, but you know, it's kind of a friction there, but he's got head ratchets in another spot. So yeah,
that's wild.
So, you know, yeah, I think, you know, that we've got the other one, right? Transform Element has theirs and obviously the MP44, but I think it's definitely recommend if you like the aesthetic of it. If they had done the gray and white, I think it really would have hit the tune spot for a lot of people. You know,
but I think what that is just a well-priced prime to play with. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I would agree with that.
If it was painted, then you have a debate whether or not, you know, that's your fucking new MP prime. But that it's not, I don't think it'll ever fucking...
I agree.
It'll ever now, take MP10's place for now.
So you guys keep saying about the paint and all that stuff. Hasbro's just going to use it might have a gloss finish on it, but they're just going to use a normal red paint and a blue paint and white paint.
JD, what I'm saying though, if you got this thing and painted that shit up, it'll probably look fucking way better than it looks.
Well,
looks good. The sculpt is there. It's just it's not really painted well. It's not painted at all.
Is the paint the only thing that you could say that's keeping it from being like MP quality? Is that the thing? Or is it the look or any other thing about the figure?
The look is there. Yeah. We don't have MP, you know, the new MP Prime to compare it to only with pictures that we've seen. But you show me this right now, and I'm like, yo, that shit looks dope. It looks like it looks like the cartoon, just like it.
Yeah.
It's not painted, for my taste, you know?
So like Zeta stuff doesn't have paint on it,
right?
It's a shame.
Toy World doesn't have paint on it.
Well, that's what I was going to say, JD. I think, you know, we hear this debate about the toy or the tune feels. So this does not have like, you know, these little vents on the the vents on the bottom flip over. He does have a rocker, like an ankle rocker, so you can get some dynamic poses and stuff. But he's not all smooth like Ironhide or Inferno or Grapple, without missing some of the detail on the line work and stuff. And if you look inside of the leg, right? You can see, I don't know if you can see that or not, but he's got little details
I think that looks so good. Like the way just kind of the curve of the leg, like, cause it just has that animation kind of like feel to it, the way that is. You see, you know, the way it kind of curves out, you know, from like the calf and stuff, how the top of the calf is a little bit smaller than from the bottom end. Like, you know, it looks pretty good for what they did, but I could understand what you guys say, like about the paint and stuff like that, keeping it from you know, maybe being that quality looking piece like on the shelf. But
yeah, I mean, I just prefer if it's gonna be masterpiece, I prefer that it has a finish.
Whoa,
there's a lot.
Did I just die?
No. Oh, dude, sorry about that.
Jeez. There's a lot of things that don't have it, and I do regret it on the ones that don't have it. I really just wish it had it.
Yeah, but aside from like when Hasbro or when Takara started actually painting their figures, which would have been what, Ironhide?
No, I mean Prowl was painted Beyond. Blue Streak. I'm looking at Smokescreen was painted. Even MP10 right. Takara was painted. Like his shoulders are painted and the chest was painted.
I don't have the Takara MP10. Yeah. Mine's all just red plastic. But like looking through, because I would imagine you probably have a lot of the same figures that I have.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of stuff up here that does not have paint.
Yeah. They took a break on Wheeljack and Red Alert, I think.
But so no. I think, but, so yeah. I think it would match.
Yeah.
You know, better.
But, I mean, if it wasn't a matte finish, maybe if it had like a glossy finish, like X-Transbots.
Like that X-Transbots.
Yeah.
Now, see, it's interesting, because I was thinking the same thing. You know, like their Scourge, right, and their Cyclonus with that kind of polished plastic look. But I almost wonder if that would take away some of the detail, because there's a lot of like details, you know, and some line work on this guy.
I was telling myself too that I think I would like the matte finish, like some, you know, maybe like the glossy look isn't always the best thing.
So let me put it to you this way: those of you guys who have one of those Weijing, right, the MPP10s, right, that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
I know Jose. I forget who it was at your table. Someone had that kind of battle damage matte finish version that just came out, and I would compare it to what that looks like.
Okay.
If that makes sense, versus like what the MPP10 looked like the first time.
Box, huh?
Little bits, not quite. But we took it out of the box yesterday.
You got nothing else to do, Gary? Right off the box? Really?
Gary's biting all types of
things. Gary, you're a fucking bottom feeder. Next week, I'll give you $80 shipped for that. Right?
I was just gonna say, that's his first in line to claim. I told him yesterday. I was like, give me 2 weeks, and then
hashtag claim. I didn't even bother hitting up Handy today. I said, I'm gonna just buy Gary. Right out the box, huh? You fuckers. Have a good night.
I will say this one other thing.
Out the box, I'll tell you that.
I guess for whatever reason, go ahead, Tom.
I just like with the matte finish, I just wanted to get back to that because I agree with Jose. Sometimes I actually enjoy the matte finish than the glossy, but. But like, didn't you find it funny sometimes when it comes to action figures, like more of a glossy on an action figure makes it look more of a toy, and the matte finish makes it look more of a like a realistic look to it. So it's it's funny when it comes to Transformers, where it's sometimes the reverse. And
but they're metal.
Yeah. Maybe true. And I find it really weird. I feel like that matte.
I feel terrible for nitpicking on it because a lot of my favorite figures here have a matte finish. Like, hello, Phoenix. I see you there. You know,
yeah, don't so. See it, right?
But that's
a really good point, it looks Brian. Good.
Yeah.
Do you have your walls painted in eggshell or?
I used semi-gloss. Semi-gloss.
There you
go. Stucco.
But no, that's it's fun that you mentioned Phoenix. Because for whatever reason, you guys know we've got our chats and stuff, and Dom and I was kind of messaging him like, "Hey, did you get your shipping notice?" Because we ordered it from the same place. His probably shows up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, you know, like I'm not frivolous with money either, but it was a little bit cheaper than buying it from the U.S. stores, right? Like when you're kind of smart, just like the Amazon Japan for getting MP44 and saving money there. But I was excited to try it based on the reputation that this company had for all the Legends and how people were getting so excited about, you know, their Legends stuff. And, you know, aside from the toy, I was more curious about, you call it being the guinea pig or, you know, just kind of trying something new because I did like the aesthetic. It was nice being surprised, I think, or feeling like I got a good purchase versus, you know, all the controversy around Hydra because it's Fans Toys, or when, you know, Fans Toys RC came out and what that looked like. you know, or when people criticize MP stuff that's official with the price or because it's a repaint and things like that. It was just, I don't know, it was just exciting to really, really be, you know, look forward to the package that was coming and being able to get that first impression and then having it really work out, you know, as feeling like it was a good purchase. So definitely,
you know, and for the price, I mean, that's a big figure, man. And for the price, that's a good price, man.
He does feel solid. I've had MP10. He probably feels maybe just a little bit lighter because I really couldn't find any die cast other than maybe this little spot in his feet. And that's really about it. If you've held KFC's blaster, he's maybe just a little heavier than that, but definitely, you know, kind of tabs together, I think, better than that figure did when it came out a couple of years ago.
Do you have KFC blaster like now?
I don't, but I've held him and I've seen him in places. And I remember looking at that figure, feeling like he looked like he should be more substantial.
Right.
And, you know, picking up and be like, whoa, this thing's like really light, you know?
Well, actually,
that's actually a good example of also the paint on whether you like him flat or metallic.
Because I have the metallic one.
Yeah, some people have the metallic and like the metallic, and some people like the flat.
And some people like the eccentric colors and are tempted by the orange one that, you know, got repainted for like the fifth time, right?
Gary, real quick, accessories in the box by any chance?
I don't have the box in front of me. He came with his axe, you know, the Energon axe kind of, and the ball fist echoes. And then he's got two battle damage windows and then two other little red battle damage pieces I think are for truck mode. I couldn't figure out where they go.
Sportivus is asking if you could hold it up to the camera again. I'll focus on you. You want to just hold it up?
I think one of those red pieces are for that his where he gets hit with the rock, like the sword rock,
the that kind of Megatron. Yeah. It could be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's asking also. He's also asking back. How's the plastic feel?
I said the plastic. It feels good. It's not soft. It's sturdy. It's solid. It does not feel fragile or finicky, and everything that I've seen, like on the legs, you know, the chest, everything tabs together really well. And even if I do like his, you know, ab crunch coming forward, I mean, he's got super ab crunch, but when you fold it back down, I'm just part of the transformation, but it all clicks into place really well.
Dude, I am looking forward to getting this.
Yeah. And like, Gary, really good. So Brian got Gary, a hot run. From a Magic Square perspective, like these people have been pushing out legends. Now this is their first masterpiece size. Do you consider this a home run for them? Like, you know,
step up. You hear that a lot, right? When there's the quote unquote, again, the new company that puts out a figure and people are like, you know, it might be their new one under this brand, but you know, there's something there. Listen, they're on to something. I think if they manage this type of price point, and they do, you know, masterpiece style other characters like this, I think that's a great win because for the value and the fact that if you do want to handle something, you know, I think it looks good on display and you can also have the best of both worlds, right? And we talk about that a lot, about do you transform it? Do you pose it? Is it an action figure?
And Gary, what they could do is they could come out with everything that's out already, you know, dude, like redo them all. You know, at a, like you said, at a cheaper price point.
And like,
well, what's
the price of the car going to be? Like, you know, what's like
$40?
Exactly. Well,
okay, so this is something I wanted to bring up. You just said they can go back and do them all. They're already doing it with the legends,
yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if anybody's seen that the picture. They have a fucking season one roster of everything that they've done and are doing. So they could definitely go back and do all of the figures, then they're like you got one company and it's completely consistent across the board.
I just like the look. I got the look of that Optimus. Granted, you know, like Dave said, we can't compare it or see it from the MP44 that's coming out. But like just the look straight up, when I even saw it, I was like, wow, that look is something that I want. You know, I wanted it in a toy and wanted it in an Optimus. So just to you know, get that and just, you know, enjoy it for what it was, is going to be an enjoyment for me. So
yeah, I'm guilty of, like all of us, right? I've bought plenty of place fillers, you know, in one line or another, whether it be third party or just something else. But you know, if you like how it looks, I mean, I think you'll be happy with it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be like you're compromising too much for it. And like I said, mm-hmm. putting it next to, you know, another third party, like a MP Dinobot from Fans Toys that has some chrome, but doesn't have a ton of paint and is a lot of just like the plastic, it fits right in with that. I mean, and like I said, I've got mm-hmm. the blue one just because I'm eccentric like that, Dave, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think if you were next to a gray, you know, Dinobot team, he'd look really good on mm-hmm. your shelf and fit in good.
And it's funny because I saw one of those photos again where they're stacking all three of them together. Like, you know, you have Magic Square, you got the official, and I forgot the third company that's making it. But like, they all look good. Like, you know, they all look and have a feel of that definitely I'm enjoying and I like them to go towards. But like, you know, it's just like, I don't think any of these are going to be that bad toy, whatever you go with, you know?
Yeah.
And it's great that, you know, I don't know how much the other one's going to be from the third party that's coming out. But if, say, it's like $150 or $160, or you got three different price levels. So you can, you know, for your financial standpoint, you can enjoy and not really get anything different. You know what I'm saying? It's a very small degree of separation from all three of them, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you, Dom. They all look great, you know, and you know, there's just certain things. I think the Magic Square looks the best, but what's the other one? That Transform Element. Like, the only thing I don't really like about the Magic Square is that they don't have that, like the way the Matrix is exposed, you know, beneath the chest, but the other one has the piece that covers it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost like, I wish you could almost do a mishmash, but I don't think you could almost go wrong either way you go. They all look, you know, great.
And I'm sure the MP44 is going to be super articulated and you can get them into poses like that. They're going to blow your mind. But like, I like you said, Jose, you wish you can just combine them all three and get a super, you know, Optimus Prime that you know, you can enjoy.
when you do that, Dom, do it. Yeah. It turns into MP01. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right.
But you know what, you know, but MP44, I don't know what the Transform Element one is going to cost currently, but I think 110 for this Magic Square at some retailers that you could pick it up for, you know, I think that's a great price for a piece like that, you know?
But what a great time to have options, you know?
Yeah.
I always think about it. You know, I think there's always people feel that need to be competitive and make the right choice. I'm like, listen, I mean, we say it all the time now. It's become a catchphrase, but... But if you're happy with it, you know,
Consumer wins when we have options, guys. It's we win when we do, when there's more options than just one. So
why are you so hungry when there's so much there to eat?
What are you saying? What are you saying? Goodbye.
Me to you.
Who's that? No, Brian saying goodbye to MP10. What was that in your hand?
It's an MP01. He's getting a little bit of hate. I want to give him some love. Poor guy.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, we're still in that era that it's like we do have that choice. Like, and almost, you know, no matter what line you collect, whether you're still that Chug collector or whether you're an MP collector, you know, or whether you're collecting Chug third party, you know, there's still options out there. There's still figures coming out. So it is still a great time to be a part of it.
And fair enough, to some point, I was just kind of thinking, like, the well G1 and transferring over to new properties, and if you're not into Beast Wars, you're running out of characters. Well, that's really not completely true. There's a lot of figures out there that could still be made, but here it is, like, right, the main guy from the Autobots that we had a great figure of twice, right? The MP01, right, and the MP10, and now, like, that character is re-energized in this third party in Takara and in the Siege series, right? You guys have said that Siege Prime is a really great toy to transform and, you know, has some cool elements to it. So, you know, it's fascinating to me sometimes how, like, it's a character that we've had many, many, many times, and yet it can still spark a lot of interest and discussion. And when you care about the property, I think it's It's an interesting observation, I guess. I don't really know where I'm going with that thought.
Not to the same thoughts you're having, Gary, but like what I was thinking, like, you know, it's up to you as a collector on whether you want to decide if this is the end or not. Like, you know, when you get that, you know, core bots or what, 84 bots that you're looking for, 85 bots, and they got the whole season and you're looking for and you got it and it's done for you, then that's you as a collector. But if you're a collector that is looking to go, you know, I enjoyed this Optimus Prime at the time, it was great for what it is, and then all of a sudden another new one comes in and you're going to buy that new one, then that you might be just that collector where you're looking for the next evolution of that character and you're going to buy it when it comes out. So it's going to be up to you on when do you want to make that choice or not.
You know what I think is cool about this one is, like, you know, you get what you guys use a term now. What do you call them? Casuals? You know, you get like a casual collector that comes in and says, yo, I really want like an Optimus Prime, right? But they don't want to pay that 300 or, you know, 200, 150, but they'll pay $100 for something like that. I think that's a dope option.
Yeah. Or just like we said, the competition in any marketplace yields benefits for the consumer. And you know, we all know people are going to be like, nope, I got to sell MP10, right, to get whatever new one I select. And that, to your point, Dave, that could open it up for somebody else who gets an official, right, Hasbro/Takara, you know, Optimus Prime at a great price that maybe they wouldn't have been able to get before. Whether someone parts it out and keeps the trailer or doesn't, and I don't know. I just think it's good for the consumer to see that happen.
You know what else I like about that Magic Square one? Dom, you've probably seen it sooner than I have, but the hard hero bust of Optimus Prime, doesn't it look like
it could
be a statue. That could be a statue.
If like that's was. What I loved about it. Like when you look at it just looks believe me, I'm all cartoon and it just like it looked like, you know, just coming out of the screen and it just looked like a cartoon to me.
Yeah. Just Brian, like that bust. In the mid 2000s, I had so many of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're right, that's exactly what it's reminiscent of. I wasn't even thinking that.
And those busts were like just cartoon versions of the characters, and they had that flat paint color.
Yep, exactly right, and kind of really blocky.
Yeah, really blocky, like, and just. And that's what I love about it too. Is it's like it doesn't look like it transforms, like Brian said. It doesn't look like it transforms. It looks like a statue, and that's the surprise. That's like, you know, that's the frosting on top where, you know, it does transform and you're gonna get a vehicle out of it.
Yeah. So I took the show and kind of made a you know, talked about packing stuff up and not having a display. And I'm still buying stuff. So clearly,
you don't know what the hell you're doing, Gary. Space.
Exactly. Right.
You're just fucking nuts.
I think it just comes back to, you know, when we've said many times, when you have a collecting drive inside you, you may cycle and ebb and flow, but you know, you probably never really give it up. And depending
on you never give it up.
It may change, you know, or alter. So yeah, so that was it.
Nice, nice. All right. Well, do you guys want to wrap on that, or do you want to move into the question? I'm prepared for the question game if the rest of you guys ain't. You know,
yeah, who's I got going a
question
tonight
for you guys if you want to throw it out there.
I do not have a question.
It's supposed to be me, Gary. But let's throw it out to the chat. Let's give it 2 minutes. I'll throw it out to the chat squad. Otherwise, we'll just wrap up the evening and open up the ROC Hangout. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad you're happy with your purchase, man. You said, you know, that Magic Square Prime, you know, just along with those other, like we said, it's crazy that this thing is coming out first. Do you think that Magic Square, just as a company as a whole, with the goodwill that they've built up over the Legends, and now they're kind of the first ones out of the gate with this Prime, do you think that just gives them an almost like an advantage in a way? Because now since it's out, everybody's just going to kind of swarm on it and jump on it.
I think so too. And this is one I don't collect Legends, and I've never handled one of their Legends. So, you know, I don't have the strongest baseline, but I will just say from an outside collecting point of view, when any company starts to try to earn a reputation, I think they buy more confidence even when they try something new, right? So BMW, manufactured amazing sedans for decades and decades and decades. And when they introduced their first SUV in 2000, as far as the X5, and that was a different world in terms of SUVs in that market. I'm not trying to do apples to oranges, but people gave them a strong benefit of that new product, right? Even though it was their first attempt at it, because their reputation had been proven so thoroughly before. So I think it's a fair point, Jose, that, the quality and the innovation and the fun factor for what you're getting in their Legends, I think probably let people be more open-minded to an MP scale figure. And the fact that they got it out first probably didn't hurt them for sure.
And mm-hmm. I was one of those people when I bought those Legends and I saw how they were and they just how, great they were. And I was like, and then they announced this Prime. I was like, I'm all aboard because everything they produced so far has been, great. I'm sure there's been ones that haven't been spectacular than others, but they all in all have been great. So that confidence in them taking a chance on this, and granted the price was just right, and I just jumped on it. So I'm thinking there's going to be a majority of people doing the same. So.
And timing is so much. I mean, we've had so much discussion around, like the Storm Collectibles line. Everybody jokes that the Mortal Kombat ninjas paid for the Street Fighter figures, right? And that it took forever for the Mortal Kombat line to start finally introducing some different molds versus six repaints, all right in a row. So, if the smaller characters that were easier to produce and do in a wider range of characters helped them generate, what they needed to get momentum for the larger scale, then that was a really smart business decision on their part. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like any of the Street Fighter figures are the same mold other than the guys that use the gi. Your Ryu and Akuma and the Ken, because I just got Street Fighter 2 figures.
No, I know, but I was just saying, for the Mortal Kombat fans, right? Yeah. It took them forever to get that the guy in the throne and then the forearm guy to get somebody different, and then they just announced that other guy. I don't know their names. Like
Baraka.
Thank you. Yes, that's the one I was thinking of.
But it's definitely a smart business decision that they took small steps, and those small steps became successful, and they grew on top of that, and then took a large step, and they're going to reap the benefits. So.
Well, and reputations are only as good as your
last figure.
Yeah, sometimes, right? It's like.
But we all seen the big hitters, take a step back and then once again take a step forward. Right now we don't know who this company Magic Square is, or whether they are another company, what the case might be. But the thing is that, they are making good steps forward. Hopefully they can continue that. And if they do, then I'm sure they're going to be put up with those other heavy hitters that we praise a lot about.
I'll say, go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say based on the polls are already there.
Magic
Square is bad cute.
Well, I always thought, I really liked the Datsuns, like the Takara Datsuns. I always have liked them as a kid, being the 260 and 280Z type cars, but they always seemed a little small to me in scale, even with like MP10, like they should have just been a little bit bigger. So, if this company took a shot at a Prowl like this, man, I'd be freaking all over it. Or if they did a Soundwave like this Prime, I would be freaking over the moon for it,
We'll see. That's good to hear, because I know, wasn't it a question, since they were doing the Legend scale stuff, wasn't that a question whether when they were going to jump and start to dip their toe into that masterpiece scale piece? They were wondering, I know people in the fandom were wondering whether the quality was going to be the same, because they've been doing Legend scale stuff. Would their masterpiece scaled stuff still hold up to that same type of quality? And it seems to be that, yes, they put out a good product with that Prime. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also find it very interesting that, MP44 gets announced and all of a sudden we've got two third party options that are almost ready at our doorstep. I mean, these things aren't made overnight. It's so
Yeah. It so weird, it, it just shows
that a lot of talking around the water cooler.
Yeah. What if Magic Square, like, they're like, maybe they were banking, they were holding this for a while. Like, oh, might as well put it out now. You know, just very funny. Very interesting. Yep. I mean, MP10 was due for an upgrade, but it was just interesting.
Yeah. Well, EE Prime in the chat, you know, just giving his opinion, he feels it was smart on their end. Jiraiya Sama 7 saying the same thing, almost that, you know, the Prime is coming in at such a low price that people are going to be willing to try it out before buying the Sakara version, you know, which is costing $450 here stateside if you didn't get in on, you know, the Japanese pre-orders and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's interesting. It just shows that the market is definitely there for the people that are going to try out, you know, all these versions that are coming out.
You know, to be honest.
Especially with a character like Prime, no?
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's Optimus
Prime. Yeah, you're right. I mean, even getting it for a deal at 300 import. I mean, how much was Hydra again?
150.
Dude. Come on, man. Well, I guess it comes with that trailer.
But you know what? You know what? The funny thing is what this figure does is that it shows that everybody needs to step up. Everybody needs to bring their A game. If you don't, consumers won't buy, and you know, you might be finding yourself in the gutter, and that reputation might not get you anywhere. So it's like, you know, there's people out there willing to step up and bring their A game. So if you don't bring your A game, and you're not, and the guys who are on top of the hill, if they don't consistently bring their A game, believe me, there's hungry people behind them ready to step up and give us the products that we deserve. So
get them done, yeah. Get
that,
them.
That we deserve.
Did I say something wrong? I'm sorry.
No, I like it. I like the enthusiasm. Get to the top of the mountain, just, Hamburger Hill and shit. Yeah,
I like the entitlement.
It's not entitlement. It's like, you know, it's God. Make good products. If you can make good products, then that's what we need. That's what we deserve.
Make a good product and stand behind it, and you're good. I was gonna say, like, they better be like Magic Square better be careful, because I'm gonna do a Gary and I'm gonna bite off of somebody else and coin the meatbag approach. You know, that Pinkerton approach where he was
just fans toys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you think Magic Square is the next fans toys?
Well, that's what EE Prime in the chat is saying. He says Magic Square is fans toys in disguise.
They're not.
Nah.
I have a pretty good idea who they are. Who, all I'm going to say is they come out.
Bad Cube.
No.
How about you?
Bad Cube wishes it was them.
I only say that because, you know, Bad Cube was weren't they Cubex?
Cubex.
Now Magic Square, like, you know, it's like,
No. They're not bankrupt.
See what you did there.
They're not bankrupt yet.
That thing does explode.
Cube is a three-dimensional square. That's a lot of you smoke too much.
JD, I'm curious. No,
you're philosophizing back there. All right,
JD, who do you think they're connected to?
I don't want to say. All I'm gonna say is
what the fuck?
No. I don't want to.
You don't want to be wrong.
I don't want to be wrong. I'm just gonna say it's not that difficult to figure out. It's not hard to figure out.
Figure it out, dude.
They own their own factory. So,
oh, okay. Beef. I'll say it.
Beef. It's beef.
No, Toy World owns their own beef.
Yeah, I don't know if that's.
Hey, you did compare it to that fucking transistor, right?
Well, in terms of the weight, but look, I've owned Eligos, I've owned Scourge, I've had, you know, I've handled the Junkions, I've handled the Transistor. This doesn't feel like any of those, but maybe they got new people. Who knows? But look what I have in my hand, Dave. A big, big Hydro Flask full of water.
I already took two pictures of it. Don't worry about it.
All right, good. Put it out on Facebook, because apparently that's what I'm known for.
Dude, all I had to do was look through our fucking feed, because Robert D pointed it out that Gary has a bottle of water on him all the time. And I was like, I wonder if he's right. I went through all our pictures. Every fucking picture, unless you can't see his hands, show him with a water bottle in his fucking hands. From day one. That's crazy.
That's funny.
He's even holding the bottle of water in that picture that he has behind him of all of us when we did TFCon 2 years ago.
Dom, I got some pictures of you too, bro. I'm going to hold them against you.
Oh, boy. Well, a lot of heads in the chat were voting for questions. You know what I'm saying? So if you guys aren't ready, I got a question. I'll just throw out a question for you guys, and I got a question for the chat squad. Brian, are you ready with your grid?
I was born ready.
Brian's always
ready. Dude, he's standing up. Shit, he's ready.
He stays ready so he doesn't have to get ready. You know what I'm saying? See that? All right.
Get ready.
Hey, before you start that, I don't want to end on a sad note. I just want to throw it out there. If anybody doesn't know what happened to Jim Hogg, and unfortunately, you know, he had a fire in his home. There's a GoFundMe that Josh started. It's on the Realm page. Anything helps. You know, throw something out there. He's one of us. He has 4 kids. Unfortunately, that shit happened around the holidays too.
I mean, terrible.
It would hit any one of us hard. I can't even imagine what he's going through. But if you could donate anything you can, help him out. He'd do it for us. So just want to throw that out there. Now you can go with the questions. Sorry.
No doubt. No doubt. Thanks for throwing that out there, brother. Appreciate that. All right. My question for the chat real quick. This is easy. This is easy. And if you don't know it, you know, I'm sure Google will help you guys out. But on what date did one of the most celebrated animated series out there, Batman, the animated series, what was the date that they first started airing episodes of that series?
I remember I came home from college and I was visiting my mom, and she's like, "So do you have anything you want to do tonight?" I was like, "Believe it or not, there's a Batman cartoon debuting tonight that I want to see." She's like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, I know, it's on primetime. It's very strange."
Oh, dude, remember? Like, I love it. I read up on all the stuff like prior to when that cartoon came out, and I was young, like, you know what I'm saying? But I was in the comic shops collecting Wizard and stuff like that. And look at that. Speaking of Jim, I think he got it according to what I see here. You know what I'm saying? September 5th, 1992.
Oh, I wasn't in college then. I lied.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'm from high school.
Knight of Ren's at 1992. He got the year, but I did ask for the date, the exact date. And I think Jim Hogg got it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Jim, you know how the game is played. Pick a number. Brian's got it up on the screen right
big winner,
there.
Big winner,
number 130. Yeah, but that animated series, man. Like, I just remember, like, on the lead up to it, he picked, you know, just reading about it leading up to it, and then, you know, once it debuted and once it was out there, I mean, that's one of the most, you know, loved animated series that DC has like ever put out. Great job. If you're a subscriber to the DC universe service, they have that animated series up there, and you can watch it. Check it out if you've never done so.
It's great. It's good.
So, host question. All right. So, my question for you guys, and it's kind of related, but can you remember what got you interested in superheroes as a kid or as an adult if you kind of got into superheroes later in life? Can you remember that exact moment? Like, what was it? Was it a comic book? Was it a television show? You know, what was it that got you into that genre in general?
For me, it was my dad, like, when we were really young, my dad would watch, like, Wonder Woman and Incredible Hulk and, you know, Million Dollar Man, all that kind of stuff. Bionic Man, you know, he'd watch all those things, you know what I mean? I'm a product of the late 70s, so there were a lot of things that I remember as a kid. But the thing that stands out to me is we loved watching The Incredible Hulk. And we would get so excited. We couldn't even say Incredible. We'd be like, "Oh, it's time for Incredible Hulk. Incredible Hulk. We're going to watch Incredible Hulk." Yeah. But that was, I would say that was probably the defining moment of, you know, my childhood sticking with me. One of the big ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watching that show with my dad and then wrestling around with him, and "You don't want to make me angry. I turn into the Incredible Hulk."
So JD, it's funny you say that, because I think for my answer is pretty much the same. I think that was kind of like my first exposure as a kid. You know what I'm saying? I was born in 1980. So, you know, 3 years old, 4 years old, 83 and 84, you're catching the reruns of that Bill Bixby, you know, Hulk show, which was probably maybe like the most popular thing at the time. Like I know Spider-Man had a show that was, you know, went on in the 70s, but they always showed replays of the Hulk. Like I didn't see that Spider-Man show until I was into the 90s when they started showing replays of it, like on Sci-Fi, when the Sci-Fi network became a thing, you know. So Hulk and of course the Christopher Reeve like Superman movies that would always be replayed on Channel 11, like back in the day. Like when you're growing up as a kid and you're watching television, like that's what you're seeing, you know what I'm saying? So
that's exactly what you were seeing at that time. So yeah, I love those reruns and stuff.
Yeah, you know, so I think that was kind of like the initial thing that kind of sparked my awareness of it. And then, you know, and then I think like my first experience is just like walking into a bodega and then seeing like the comic, you know, all bodegas had a comic rack like that you could buy comics from. And I remember being like 6 or 7 years old and seeing like an issue of Superman on there. And, you know, and back then they were only like 60 cents or 75 cents. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, while you're grabbing your candy or whatever, I was like, oh, grab this comic book. You know what I'm saying? It was a cover like that grabbed me to it. And that was it. Like I was in, you know, and they used to call me like Little Hulk. So I think that's why, like, it was that Incredible Hulk TV show as well. You know, you remember you used to see his eyes change and, you know, you just see the clothes ripping. And they used to tell me, like, as a kid, they used to call me Little Hulk because I used to pretend to be like the Hulk. Like as a kid and pretend, you know,
just got anger management issues.
You know, so you know, so it is the same
mad.
Just wondering if it's like, oh, you know, almost like that same type of thing, whether it's that television exposure, the comic book exposure, or something else that kind of like got you into it. I think that was it for me as well.
Yeah, you mentioned it right for me, Jose. It was Christopher Reeve's Superman. That was it for me. Like I remember watching those on Channel 11 and just, you know, I thought Superman was like the, you know, badass and just nobody could defeat him. And, you know, that was my first, you know, exposure to a superhero. And ever since I watched that movie and all the other movies that came out for it, I enjoyed it. So that's why I always think, you know, when it comes to Christopher Reeves, that's the Superman that I see.
So. You almost called him Spider-Man twice.
I did.
Yeah.
I heard it.
You know,
Spider-Superman. I'm sorry,
Dom. I didn't catch that.
For me, I had older cousins, and when I say older, these were really my dad's like first cousins, my second cousins, and their mother used to babysit me. So they used to always watch the Adam West Batman.
Yep.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And I was young. I was 3 watching that shit, you know, and I remember loving it and like jumping on the couches and pretending I, you know, kung, you know, pow, boom, bam, you know.
Yeah.
I just you guys kicked it back when you started mentioning that. That really brings it back for me, was the Adam West Batman, watching that shit. I think that probably was my first like real exposure to any comic book or, you know, superhero related stuff.
Nice.
And then the only other thing that comes to mind is I got into the Ewok movies, which got me into Star Wars. So I always say, you know, I got the love for the Ewoks because that's where I started watching Star Wars. Like I watched the Ewok Adventure, then Return of the Jedi, okay, the last Star Wars movie, and went backwards, you know, and then started from the beginning. And like, oh shit, there's a whole nother world, you know.
that's cool. Yeah. Nice. All right.
Mine was 66 Batman too. So, and everything Dave just said.
Hey, come on.
No, man. And the only other thing I remember really was I had the little Mego action figures and the Batmobile and the Saturn, stuff like that. So, yeah, dude.
I'm gonna sound like such a dork, but
you're
like
a dork, Gary.
Yeah, I know.
Or it's gonna get more than one.
It's gonna get worse before we conclude tonight. No, it's so when I would watch the that original animated Super Friends from like the kind of later 70s. I think it was like 76, 77 when I'd catch those. And as that show progressed, right, before it became Superpowers, somewhere in between, before G.I. Joe was doing kind of like Now You Know, right, and Knowing Theft of Battle and teaching you life lessons about stray dogs and healthy snacks and power cords, you know, that power lines. The Super Friends, they used to teach you little magic tricks at the end of the show or like little household products. So it'd be like Wonder Woman and there'd be like kids and she would teach you how to make a bank to save money out of a, you know, milk jug and bottle caps and stuff and like what you could do to it to kind of make it, you know, to put something together or again, some type of little illusion or magic trick using household items. So I always used to really like the show, but then I liked that part of it a lot to try to gather up that stuff and see, you know, Mom, do we have this? I need one of these. I need one of those. And popsicle sticks and stuff like that. So.
Nice, man.
Not the best superpower usage, but you know, it got me interested in watching the show and seeing the characters for sure.
Brian, what do you call him again? He's one of those kids, one of the privileged kids or advanced.
Oh, the Head Start kids.
How's the Head Start? Just like
yeah. Chat Wingham said his dad got him into reading comics. It was a Batman comic. That his dad read some that got him into it. I could relate with Jim H here. He said he used to struggle with reading and his teacher told his mom to get him comic books. And he said ever since then, he's been a great reader and hooked on comics. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't ever remember like the struggling, but I just do remember that just through reading comic books, there were a lot of words, you know, since I started looking at comics from so young, there was like a lot of words that I didn't understand. That I would read in comics and kind of get what they meant through the context of what I was reading. And then I would learn those things later in school and I would be like, oh, I noticed already from the comic book. You know what I'm saying? So I think comics for me was a great contributor for me learning how to read, write, and all that stuff. Like for people that say, oh, that shit will just rot your brains, I disagree. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what you're reading, whether it's a book or a novel or a comic book, a graphic novel, as they call them. I think if you're just reading in general, that's a benefit for your child.
Yep, exactly.
You know,
Dad, so. What's this word? P-O-W? Pow? Yeah, that's a word.
That's what's called an onomatopoeia.
Yeah. E.E. Prime in the chat, he said the same thing. He said he almost got a perfect score in his SATs, and he would swear that that's due to comic books.
Dude, perfect score, SATs. Head start, motherfucker. God damn. I'd take start. That fucking thing twice, and I still ended up, I think I maxed out at 10:30.
missed opportunity.
Yeah, Knight of Ren almost saying the same thing. What got him into books was like his dad's comic book collection, you know. So that's good to hear. Like, just kind of like, you know, we're getting it's a, like a generational thing, you know what I'm saying? If your parents are kind of into it, you know what I'm saying, they got their kids into it, just kind of like, you know, like Dave, like you now, like I'm sure with Chloe, like you're talking about getting her into school and stuff, but I'm sure, you know, as she gets older, you're gonna try to put her on to all this nerd stuff that you're into, right?
You could come in the room and tell you what side of the room is Transformers and what side of the room is Star Wars. Straight up. She comes in here, she goes, Daddy, which one you like? Which one you like?
See, that's awesome, man. Yeah. I think that's an awesome thing. You know, so all right, good stuff, guys. I think we can wrap on that. We'll open up the ROC hangout once we finish and go off the air here. We'll run it down the line and get some where you asked before we say goodnight. So I think Brian Brink, I'll start with you, brother.
You can find me, Brian Brink, in the Facebook groups and at Brinkalizer on Instagram. And that's it.
All right, Big Dom.
You can find me on the Facebook groups at Dominic Rosso and here Tuesday night with these guys.
Yay! Energon Addict.
Find me here on Tuesdays once again and on Facebook, David Colon, Instagram, Energon Addict.
All right, G Money.
Yeah, Gary Allen in the Facebook groups. And very quickly, I really want to recognize everybody who's participating in the ROC Wellness Challenge. It is going strong. There is far more active sharing of especially diet adjustments and, you know, recipes and just support for, you know, pushing through and prepping your own food and packing food for lunches instead of eating out and taking the quicker, easier choices. So I think we're off to a really, really great start. Sunday will be our first check-in. I'll put some posts in that group, but it's a great first prize that we're working towards. But again, the real winner will be everybody that just feels a little better at the end of this. But it's really exciting to see how much more I think participation there is of people sharing on this journey with each other for that. So I'm real proud of everybody in that group. So keep that up, and we'll keep making progress to the spring.
Yeah, man. Awesome.
For your socks.
Yeah, please, dear God, yes, Sunday. I mean.
You know, Gary, I want to say one thing about that. Like right now, everybody's being supportive, and everybody's like,
I know
we could do this. Let's go. Let's
talk about
last couple weeks.
Let's see what end of February is.
I'm gonna be posting straight up pictures of Philly cheesesteaks and pizza.
Let's see
and
Super Bowl weekend.
Other shit.
So
seasoning my food with Visine, you know,
real quick, like every other competition. Okay. Look, there's this. I say it again. It's a high stakes, high reward, and many capacities, right? And many components for this challenge, right? Because we want to be healthy. But look, first prize is a great prize right now. Mm-hmm. And I know there's some people that are supportive, but they're working hard, you know? So there's that kind of that saying about, you know, work quietly, you know, mm-hmm. and let the results speak for themselves.
That's what I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and that's okay. Look, that's okay too. It's whatever you need, you know, and that's the idea behind it. But I'm real excited to see where this goes here for the next couple months. So
yeah, man.
Yep.
All right, next up, JD.
You might as well give up now, fatty. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Are you in it, JD?
No, I'm not in it.
Because I swear to God, if you shave that beard, you might lose like 50 pounds.
Probably. I might. It's a lot of hair. But yeah, you can find me, JD Brocious, in the Facebook groups. Pigment Surgery on Instagram and Xbox Live here every Tuesday with these fine fellows discussing various topics of interest. Or not interest, depending on who you are. And every other Wednesday on Figure Banging,
nice.
We do some live toy reviews.
Not this week.
Statue this week. Reviews. Yep, that was last week's show. And statues all over.
Oh, you roboted
there. You roboted there. What was the line again?
Statues don't involuntarily fall over.
No, I guess not.
So. All right, guys. That's for myself. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network, all at Harrick and BX. As these guys said, here every single Tuesday night with my bros right here. And remember to check out Verbally Challenged with Harrick and BX, now officially a proud part of the Cool Table Network, available on all audio platforms. So definitely check that out, guys. Before we head out, realmofcollectors.com, check it out. And check out all the other shows on the Cool Table Network, Shattercast Uncut, Nerd Rage Radio, Classic Fanatics, Figure Banging, Beer and Bolters, 40K, Stasis Lock, 8 weeks, Building Up to It, Fresh Communication. I think that's all of them. And Verbally Challenged, as I said. And check out Crashbox Customs on social media for all your Mezco and Diorama needs. Just mention the word Realm when placing an order, and you'll get a surprise gift with your purchase. All right. So that's it for us tonight, guys. Thank you for watching and listening. We appreciate it. Shout out to the chat squad. You guys were amazing. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. We are the ROC. We're not going anywhere, so get to know us. The ROC hangout will continue next. Look out for the link in the ROC Facebook group. All right. Good night, guys. Peace out.
So long, internet.
Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week.